Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another San Diego Soundbites episode, and I'm talking to Philip Seve about his upcoming creator-owned project at Dark Horse Comics called Triage. It sounds like it's all the great things about comics rolled into one, which is sort of what Philip wanted to do. So I'll let him explain that in the chat that we had, because he does it much better than I can. But I've known Philip for a long time, and he's really diving into creating a story where he's controlling everything. The narrative in terms of writing, the visuals in terms of doing the pencil work and the line work, the inking, the coloring. He wants it to come out exactly as he sees it in his head. So it's a ton of work, and I really appreciate that Philip is sort of diving in to this wholeheartedly. And you hear him say it in the conversation we had about wanting to take what was best about 90s comics, that over-the-top feel of just this runaway train, anything can happen. You know, there's no budget for special effects like a movie, so you never know what can happen next. The sky's the limit. It's really only limited by Philip's imagination. So I love that the character he's created, Evie, is sort of sprung from a lot of his life experiences, and you'll hear him talk about that as well, just about how you take one path in life and you think it's the right one, and then you wake up a couple years later and realize, I hate this. Like, how did I get here? And you have to make a switch. And that's sort of the situation that Philip found himself in at one point in his life. And it's certainly the situation that Evie finds herself in Triage. And things go from there. So it was great to talk to Philip. Great to catch up. I'm really excited for this title. I hope it does well. I encourage you all to pick it up. Let your retailers know that you want to try out Triage. And I also have, Philip gave me some card sets in the tradition of the best thing about the 90s, right, in the comics there. A lot of trading card sets that came out at that time. So I, and Philip talks about it in the chat that we had. I have four sets of trading cards for the characters in Triage, along with a very small mini print. I think it might be of the first cover. So as I said, I have four of those. I'm going to give them out to the first four people that that retweet, and you also have to send me a direct message saying that you you want one of the card sets and give me your address. And the first four people that do that, the first four people that retweet as well as direct message me, I will ship out the trading card set along with the print from Dark Horse with the cover of Triage. So hope you all enjoy Triage. Hope you all check it out. I want to thank everybody for listening. As always, we really appreciate the support. So I'm going to go ahead and play the interview for you now, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from the Comic Source coming to you once again, San Diego Comic-Con, the 50th iteration. Here yes. with my friend Philip Seve, who's got a new project coming from Dark Horse.
Yes.
Triage, and I know nothing, so
excellent.
Fill me in.
Yeah,
what's it all about?
So Triage is a sci-fi action adventure book. It's this crazy genre mashup of comics and sanity, which is the way I like to describe it. So it follows our main character, whose name is Evie. She is a nurse. From a thematic standpoint, she's reached a point in her career. Like, I've done everything I wanted to do. I've reached all my goals. I've set out to do all these things, and now I'm there, and I'm not happy. What's wrong? Like, who am I now? It's that identity crisis that I think a lot of us go through at some point in our life where we realize, like, oh, everything I thought I wanted or everything I thought I am is actually not what I wanted. And then trying to figure out, find your identity from there. But the story itself kicks in where she goes to sleep and then wakes up in this, like, far-out psychedelic sci-fi place with a, like, really sassy superhero and this battle-hardened post-apocalyptic warrior. And the three of them find out that they're being hunted by this being who is trying to kill them. And if they die, all three of them die, all existence dies with them. So they have to figure out, like, what's so important about them? Are they connected to each other? And if so, how? And how do we stop an unstoppable killer? Almost like a Terminator, so to speak. So it's big, crazy, universe-jumping, sci-fi fun stuff, but really kind of grounded in kind of that feeling of, like, that personal crisis of trying to figure out who you are and how you measure yourself around each other and what do you do when you feel like you have nothing to offer and how do you see through those things and how do you find, embrace your identity and kind of come out strong.
So it's so interesting. Obviously, Evie has this medical background, being a nurse, so that's where kind of the title triage comes from.
It does,
right?
Yes.
So here she is, like many of us, thought she wanted something, achieved it, and then maybe not.
Yeah.
So will we see kind of a journey of her, a maturation, where she realizes she has to use some of those medical skills maybe, and she realizes, oh, maybe there is worth in it?
Yeah. I mean, some of the specifics I don't want to get too much into without spoiling things for her journey. But yeah, she very much, it's throughout the series, obviously, as we're moving forward, each issue has one or two pages where we kind of go backwards into her life and look at key important moments and how that shaped her and how she has to kind of reclassify and redefine how she values herself, like what things are actually important about what you can bring into other people versus like things you think of superficially. So instead of thinking of yourself as, I'm an accountant, thinking of like, what do I have from those skills that I have that bring value and help other people.
And how long have you been developing the idea?
So I actually pitched it right here at San Diego last year to my editor. I developed it just really quickly before the show, literally like 4 days before the show. I was like, that's a cool idea. And I sketched out some character designs. So I showed her three designs and a rambling idea. And she was like, that sounds cool. Finalize it and send it to me. And within a few short weeks, it was approved. So it was not one of those like long gestating things. But at the same time, it's allowed me like loads of energy into it because it went from 0 to 60 really quite quickly.
So did you have Evie as a character? Was that kind of the impetus, or was it more the idea and then you inhabited this idea with the characters?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, the story, you know, we have our superhero character, we've got sci-fi post-apocalypse, we've got the obviously Evie's character as a nurse and like the character struggles that she has. It was a combination of wanting to do something that was 100% comic book. And what I mean by that is, like, I grew up in the 90s, or I grew up reading 90s comics. And I think 90s comics are a perfect example of, like, the breadth of the genre. When you read something like X-Men in the 90s, where you've got Cable's my perfect example. If you look at Cable's history, it's insane. And it works amazingly because it's a comic book. Like, I love comic books that you read them and you're like, oh, this would be a great TV show or this would be a great film, but I wanted to do a comic book that would be like, this is so 100% comic book. What can I do inside this genre, this medium that is specific to comics that tells stories in a way that is very much comic book? So I wanted to, as a story, I'm trying really hard to recreate that feeling of when you read it, you feel like you're reading an amazing comic from your childhood, like that excitement of like, oh, they couldn't do this anywhere else. Like, this is so... So there was that goal. And then, like, I love working in... I want to do superhero comics. I love post-apocalypse. I love character drama. Like, I like all these things, and I came up with a way to put them all together into one story. And then with the character of Evie, her struggles reflected a lot of different things I've either been through in my past or things that I was cycling through emotionally at the time. So it was a combination of finding those character things that I really much connected to and finding a way that works with a story that I was really excited about doing and not pushing, but celebrating the medium of comics.
So with the three main characters, and who are the other two?
So we have Marco. Commander Marco is a post-apocalyptic kind of like Imperator Furiosa from Mad Max type badass warrior, which we'll find more about in the book. And then the other one is Orbit, who is like a superhero. And she's got all sorts of spunk and a lot of learning to do. She's one of my favorite characters. So
of the three, which would you say is most like you?
I mean, I have to be Evie to a degree, just because obviously being the main character, each character has their own arc and have aspects of kind of like things that I've been through, but Evie very much identify with personally as some of those things. Like, you know, I got my undergraduate degree in corporate finance. I worked for Goldman Sachs for a couple of years, and even though comics were always my love, it was something that I kind of had set aside. And a couple of years in, I was like, I hate this so much. I hate this career. I hate this industry. I hate what it does to people. And I hit that moment, like, what do I do now? Like, I did everything I was supposed to, like, top business school, top ranks graduating, things like that. And it was a hard shift in my late 20s where I went from, like, I'm going to quit a well-paying job and a good career with a good company, and I'm going to go to art school, and I'm going to do comics. And so those personal aspects, and there's other things as well that I've been through that I'm like, yeah, that those go a lot into Evie and her journey. So,
now how long do you have a plan? Like, how much story? How many issues?
Sure. Yeah, it's a 5-issue miniseries, and I've worked really hard to try and give it a satisfying conclusion at the end of the 5th issue. I don't want it to be one of those series that ends and people are like, "When's the next issue?" And I'm like, "If they approve more, I'll do more."
Right.
Obviously, like, if it sells, everyone buys a copy, and it makes millions of dollars, then we'll find ways to tell more story.
Right.
But I wanted it to be very satisfying read as it stands.
Now, you started out doing art.
Uh-huh.
Now you've kind of graduated to telling your own stories.
Yes.
Along with handling the art. And I know with Freeze that you did for Top Cow, you also did some coloring. So
I did.
What are you doing as far as this book? You're not doing it at all.
I mean, just about. Triage, I'm writing, penciling, inking, and coloring the book.
Oh, my goodness.
I've got Frank Vetkovic is an amazing letterer. He's lettering the book for me. He lettered The House, which was the horror graphic novel I did a couple years ago. But yeah, other than that, I'm doing everything.
Wow, so plenty of lead time, though? Where are you at?
Yeah, I started writing it last October. The first issue will be out September 4th. Right now, I'm in the middle of issue 3. The scripts are all written and locked, and art-wise, I'm halfway through the 3rd issue. So by the time the first issue comes out, I'll be into issue 4, if not close to the end of the done with it. So I have a phenomenal editor who's great at keeping me on schedule and giving me plenty of the time I need in order to make sure the book's the quality and it comes out on time. So yeah, we'll be good.
Being that you're handling so much of it on your own gives you a greater level of control as a creator. You really enjoy that?
Yes. Like, I love the collaborative nature of comics, and I don't want... I plan on doing more collaborations in the future, though I want to continue to do stuff where it's all me. But being able to kind of distill that creative vision into one very focused and refined comic puts all the onus on me. So I'm like, if you love it, it's because you clicked with the vision I was trying to create. If you hate it, well, it's all my fault because I did everything. So yeah, like, I actually really, really enjoy it. It's a lot more emotionally draining than I thought it was going to be, just because I'm working on almost every aspect of it. It's constantly spinning and churning in my head as I'm doing it. I'm not just like, this drawing needs to be good. I'm like thinking about how this drawing impacts this element of the story and how the colors are going to work there, and you know, working with Frank to make sure the letters are working and some of the crazy layouts and things that I've done. So yeah, I really enjoy it. It's you know, I still look forward to working with more great people, but it's really fun to kind of have a very concentrated dose of Phillips comics, I guess.
So is that the biggest challenge, though? I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. You get to have exactly what you picture in your head on the paper, but don't necessarily have as much of a sounding board. You mentioned a great editor.
Yeah, I've got a great editor. I've got other phenomenal friends who work in comics that I'm constantly soundboarding off of, and I had a really great group of friends. We all kind of had a creative retreat earlier this year, and I brought all my scripts, and I had like 10, 15 of my closest creative friends sat down for an hour and just tore me to pieces, which is fine. You need that.
A little dose of humility.
So yeah, and I was like, this is what I need in order to make it bigger. I had great feedback from my editor, but also working with people who are like top tier writers and artists and colorists and letterers and editors themselves, and that type of feedback was super helpful to identify some of the flaws that are hard to see when you're doing everything on your own. You get myopic a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like it's going to be really exciting. I'm very much looking forward to it. You know, I'm a fan of your work.
Well, thank you so much.
And you have some giveaways.
I do. Yes. So I created 90s style trading cards as a promotional tool. I've been contacting retailers in the last couple of weeks now that the book's orderable. It's the final order is not for another 3 weeks. But in talking to them, I'm sending them PDFs of the book and then also sending them a whole bunch of trading cards so they can put in holds of customers who might be interested or people who request the book. So if you guys want a copy of trading cards, to those who are listening, have your retailers reach out to me if I haven't had a chance to reach out to them. And I will happily send them a whole package of them and they can give them out to you and other customers as well. And I can, Jace, if you want to do a giveaway or whatever, I can give you a whole bunch. Or
yeah, I'll take a couple sets. We'll give them away. And I'll have details on that when I tweet out about this episode. This episode's going to go out the week after the show.
Okay.
So unfortunately, by then it's too late. I mean, anybody at the show obviously can get them as
well.
If
you're at the show, like, find me and I will definitely give them out. I've been handing them out like candy. So
great. But like Phillip said, look for it at the beginning of September.
September 4th is when the first issue comes out. Yep.
Okay, so now is the time to let your retailers know.
Yes.
Final order cutoff will be about 2 weeks from when this episode comes out. So get out there. You know, I said it a million times. No better way to help a retailer than let them know ahead of time that you, you want something, and you'll be able to get the cool trading cards too.
Yeah, and we've had lots of, you know, we're starting to see lots of creator-owned sellouts this summer. Things like Road of Bones or Kanto at IDW, or No One Left to Fight here. Dark Horse just sold out, and they go into second and third printings, which is awesome. But also at the same time, like if you let your retailer know ahead of time, well, they can up their orders and make sure you get the first issue and not have to wait 3 or 4 weeks later for the second printing. It just makes it trickier to get the copy you need.
And as a comic fan, you know, the collectible aspect,
we all want the first printing.
So anyway, great talking to you, Philip. Really looking forward to the book, and best of luck.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You can find the Comic Source podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.